Shus Moreno, Rav Shlita. First of all, a very hearty welcome to Julian and family. It's a great to see you, and a belated mazel tov to Rafi, and it's a great pleasure to see you joining us again. I would like to start off with a little question which I'd like to put to you and to see what your answer might be. We know that we came out of Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan, and we've been counting. Today is the 47th day of the Omer, so we're counting 50 days to the festival of Shavuos. The question I'm asking is, imagine that the Torah is some sort of newspaper, it's formatted and typesetted like a newspaper. What date would it carry on it? Anybody? The 7th of Sivan. There are a number of views which say the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan, even though it's not strictly Shavuos according to the Torah. Any other opinions, or are you in agreement with David that it was the 7th of Sivan? No, and nobody else?
50th day of the Omer.
Yeah. Alright, well, right, let me read out to you a piece, a very unrelated piece in Parshas Vayishlach. Parshas Vayishlach, which talks about Yaakov's fight with the Saros Shel Esav, and he's hit in his thigh, Kaf Yerech. So the Pasuk says, Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael es gid ha-nosheh, so therefore we do not eat the gid ha-nosheh, Ashel Kaf Yerech ad hayom hazeh, until this day. What is Yom Hazeh? Yom Hazeh means today, Sunday, the 3rd of Sivan, or the 5th of June 2011. And if we look further in that same Sedra, which talks about the Patira of Rachel Imenu, I was going to bookmark it before starting, but I didn't realise I was starting so quickly. But if we look at the, here we are, Seis Nafshah, Thomas Rachel Vatikilok, Vatikove Bederech Efrosa, Perek Lamed Hei, Yud Tes, and so Yaakov made a Matseva, Posad Chaf, He matseves kivuas Rachel ad hayom. This is the kever of Rachel, the matseva of hers, until today. What is today? Today is Sunday, the 3rd of Sivan, Tov Shin Ayin Aleph. Today is the 5th of June, 2011. So if the Torah would be formatted like a newspaper, then the date which is written on it would be today's date. And then, as we move to tomorrow, it would have on it tomorrow's date, etc., until years and years later you'll have on it on that date. So whilst I appreciate your answer, David, and I must say it was a bit of a trick question, because I expect that in actual fact Kabbalah Satorah is something which is taking place every single day, because the Torah is talking in the present tense. And what better example is there than the bracha which we make when we're called up to the Sefer Torah, the second bracha, Hashem lo sanon the Torah Semes. Yes, Hashem gave us the Torah Semes. V'chaya olam notab esolcheinu, and it gives us a permanent life. And then how do we finish the bracha? Baruch ato Hashem, nosein ha-Torah. Not nosam ha-Torah, not that he gave us the Torah, although we did say that before, but no say, he is constantly giving us the Torah. Every single day we are receiving the Torah. Every single day when you open up a Chumash, a Mishnah, a Gemara, you are doing a Kabbalah Satorah, and it's happening today. And therefore it's no coincidence when you look in Parshas Yisro, which we're going to lay in on the first day Shavuos this week, V'ato, and now, im shamoa tishmu b'koli, if you listen to my voice, v'shamatim esprisi, and you keep my covenant, you'll be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So there the word is v'ato, and now. Alright, there are a number of peiroshim which explain, what does this mean, v'ato, v'ato, and now? Rashi there says, it's when the start is usually difficult, and once you've made that start, once you've made that commitment, then you're on the way. So that's the idea of Va'ato. Then there's a parish of the Arachayim HaKadosh, she says, when it says Va'ato, it's a siman of Teshuvah. When you receive the Torah, first you have to do Teshuvah, and then after that you're ready to receive the Torah. So Va'ato has a number of meanings. But it fits in with the concept that we're saying, the Kabbalah Sotah is happening right now, today, on the 3rd of Sivan, or any other day on which we're speaking, Vato, and now, namely, you do Teshuvah, and now you are preparing yourself, Im Shema Tishmu V'Koli, if you listen to my voice, Visim Nisugula, and you'll be Mamleches Kanim V'Goy Kodosh. So when I spoke about the title Kabbalah Satorah in the modern world, the word modern has different connotations. Indeed, very often when people talk about modern, they mean something a little bit off the cuff, nicht so heimisch. They say, oh, he's very modern when they talk about Shidduchim. Well, he's very modern, as if it's something derogatory. And then we've got this problem of stereotyping, that you've got this type, the Haredim, and you've got the modern Orthodox, as if to say that these people, I don't know, whatever they are. But the way we're just discussing the Torah now is that you have to be modern. The Torah is talking modern. Modern in the dictionary means up to date. And the Torah is telling us that we have to be up to date. And the Torah is talking in the present tense, like we saw with Gidhan Moshe, or the Kever Rochel. And as I was just chatting with Julian, and Rabbi Cooper Zatzal said, it doesn't matter what sort of kippah you're wearing on your head, as long as you're learning Torah. So, if you are being up to date, if you are not modern, then you're probably not Orthodox, if we're discussing it with this new interpretation that we've now come up to. And Shavuos is not therefore celebrating only that the Torah was given 3,000 years ago, but it's given every single day. That it's not just an idea of Kabbalah HaTorah, receiving the Torah, and it's Kiyum HaTorah. Kiyum is part of the Kabbalah, to make the Torah sustainable and continuous, that every single day is Torah. And I was abroad last week, and I heard a Rav talking about Kabbalah HaTorah, and there's the famous Midrash that Hashem writ around the world, and he asked different peoples of the world whether they would like to accept the Torah. And it was a little amusing, because he was asking what would have happened had we not said Nasi v'Nishma. As we know, he asked Ishmael, and he asked Esav, and these peoples of the world, they asked, what's in it? Ma kasuv bo? And Hashem said to them, oh, you may not be immoral, or you may not steal. And he said, oh no, we can't keep to that, we're not accepting the Torah. Or he said to Edom, to Esau, you may not murder. They said, how can we keep to such thing? We live by the sword. And then Hashem came to us and said, will you receive the Torah? And we said, Nasa v'nishma. But what if we would have said, Makosubo? What if we would have said, what is written in it? What would Hashem have said? Yes, Gershon?
Rabbi Cooper discussed this with me once.
Really?
And he said, Rabbi Cooper once said, in the same way that Yisrael and Esau were presented with the hardest mitzvahs for them, Yisrael would have been presented with the hardest mitzvah for Yisrael. Yeah. Which mitzvah is that? Don't make machlokes.
Sure. I think
it's very interesting that Rabbi Cooper is saying
that we want to be more of a...
What about the Shevet
Mitzvah for they know? Yes, I know. That's a very Shevet Kasha on Yisrael and Esau, who said, we can't accept, you may not steal and you may not murder. They got the Shevet Mitzvah for Noah. But I think there, the answer is in the question. Namely, that it just shows how low they are, or were, that they weren't even willing to accept the Shevet Mitzvah for Noah. So it's a Kal V'Chomer for them. We're not accepting the Shevet Mitzvah enough. Obviously we're not going to accept the Torah. But I think there are other answers which I've seen, namely that the punishments are different and so on, but that gets more longish. Now, I appreciate that, because just last week I was in Toronto and I was honored to hear Rabbi Shaul Sonneman speaking. He came over from Lakewood, and he asked this question, and he quoted his Rosh Hashiva, who said something almost similar to you. He said, if we would have said Makosav Bo, Hashem would have said Lo Seleh Rochel Ba'amecho. Yeah, but Lefi Anius Daiti, who am I to argue with someone like Rav Matthew Sol Solomon or Rabbi Cooper? But I think the reason why Hashem said to these other peoples of the world the hardest mitzvah for them, he chose their weaknesses, because he didn't really want them to receive the Torah, because he wanted us to receive the Torah, because we are his chosen people. So he gave them the hardest mitzvah to put them off, and afterwards they can't argue, oh, you never asked us. So as a result of that, I think the theologians say Hashem would have told us the easiest mitzvah because He wanted us to receive the Torah, because we are Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And He made a promise in the Bris Ben Absarim, and he said to the Zarachai, Tenas Oretz Azos, I will give your seed this Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, in that line of thinking, maybe Hashem would have given us the easiest mitzvah, which is Shiluach HaKen, because we talk about, where does it talk about Arichas Yomim? For both Kibbud Av Ha'Eim, the hardest mitzvah, and Shiluach HaKen, sending away the mother bird, which is the easiest mitzvah. So I think he would have said, you must send away the mother bird. Anyway, as it happened, there was a mountain hanging over us, and we didn't have a lot of choice at the time. So we said Nasa v'nishma, and Hodo Kibru b'Me'ach HaShveirosh. And afterwards, at the time of Esther, we accepted the Torah willingly, Kimu v'Kiblu, etc. So what's that got to do with us? Because when we receive the Torah, we are also saying Nasa v'nishma, because we see this amazing world around us, and how we apply the principles, the raw principles of Torah, to every single day. Because as I say, the newspaper is carrying today's date. What does this mean in real terms? If you want to explain this for a young child, how do we explain this idea that the Torah is eternal? And the way I would explain it is, if you say to people, 2 plus 2 makes 4. 2 plus 2 makes 4. Yeah, obviously we all know that. 2 plus 2 makes 4. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about 2 chairs, or 2 tables, or 2 cartons of orange juice, or 2 cars, or 2 computers. 2 and 2 always makes 4. This is an eternal truth. In the same way, what is written in the Torah is an eternal truth. Just like 2 and 2 makes 4. The Torah applies for all time. So when you've got some book like the Highway Code, it's constantly being updated. You get a revised edition to take into account new features, new concepts to do with driving on the roads, new technology, holding mobile phones in your hand while you're driving. So the Highway Code is always changing to meet what's going on nowadays. But the Torah is always the same Torah. And nobody can say, oh, it's out of date now. Now, we know the Reform and other Kochim will come along and say, this is out of date and that's out of date. But what they really mean is that it's not convenient for them. Because every single part of the Torah is the Rotzon Hashem. And just like the Torah was applicable 3,000 years ago, it's applicable now. And it's interesting that we brought these pasukim from Vayishlach, which talk about Ad Hayom Hazer, or Ad Hayom. Even if we look to the future, that certain things might change, the Torah is still talking to us in our present tense. And the example I was thinking of for that is where we talk about Melcheles Amalek at the end of Bashalach. And there it says, Ki Yod Al Keisko. What's Pshat Ki Yod Al Keisko? Keisko is short form for Kisei Hashem, the throne of Hashem. So Rashi brings down from Chazal that the Torah, or Hashem, feels incomplete while Amalek is still alive. Whilst Amalek is still there to attack us, then Hashem's sovereignty is always under a kind of threat from Amalek. It's not complete. So Chazal say, it doesn't say it completely. Ki Yod Al Keisko. Ah, that means that when Amalek is done away with, it won't be Kiyod Al Keisko, it would be Kisei Hashem. But we're talking in present tense. And the Shalas and Shuvas of the Binyan Shloma actually connects what we said in connection with the Gid HaNosher with Esav. Why? Because Esav, it was the Sarashal Esav who was fighting with Yaakov Avinu and affected the Gid HaNosher and affected his thigh. And it's Esau where we're talking about Kiyod El Keisko. So he's saying that the Giz HaNosher would eventually become permitted. When Esau is done away with, then the Giz HaNosher would be allowed. He connects it with Kiyod El Keisko. The Zohar says, by touching the thigh, that Sarashal Esau caused the destruction of the two Batei HaMikdosh, because he was the Sarashal Edom. And the Zohar also says that the Gid HaNosher, is one of the 365 Gidin of a person's body. And there are 365 days in a year. And the one day of the year which corresponds to Gid HaNosher is Tisha B'Av. And he says there's a remez, S in the Pasuk on Gid HaNosher, turned around, is Tes Av. There's Tisha B'Av, Tov Aleph, S. So that, he says, is the Gid HaNosher. But the Rashba, although he says it affects the Kisei HaKavod, he says in his Perush L'Chulin Tzadi Aleph that there's a limitation here. The Svei Chemed says nothing will change in letters of the Torah. How can we understand this in the light of the fact that the Torah is eternal and everything written in it will be the same? And the Shalom Shulis Gives Yosef says, Chas v'Shalom, that you should suggest that a single letter of the Torah will change. We can perhaps answer this by saying that in the future the interpretation will change. The text will be the same. I have heard of Perush from a Reb Shraga Wiesenberg, I think a distant relation of yours, Gesh. And he wrote in some notes that when the Torah was given, it was already written before the world was created. Hashtaga Barai, so Barai Alma, Hashem looked in the Torah to see how he should create the world. Ah, but what about the events which followed as a result of free will? So it says in the Pasuk, Vayar ha'om vayonu vayam du me'rochot, and the people saw the letters of the Torah interchanging. Vayam du me'rochot, and the former text just went into the distance, and they were presented with a slightly different text, but with the same letters, the same text. So the Torah is eternal. And when we now look at the principles of learning from Chazal, from Mishnah, from Gemara, from Torah Shebal Peh, we apply these nowadays to technology perhaps in a more distinct way than ever before in our history. What does that mean? Effects of halacha. For example, if I caused you damage, harm, and I harm you by infecting your computer with a virus. So you'll say there's nothing in the Torah which talks about infecting a computer with a virus, but the truth is there is. Because we know from the Mishnah in Bava Kamma that there are four kinds of damages, shor, bor, maver, hever, and they all have different characteristics. Shor is one which has a derech leilech ulahazik, or that the fire goes and causes damage, whereas the bor stands on its own. The pit in the street is something one just falls into. And then there's maver, all right, there's machlokas, what the interpretation is, if it's human or something else. But then we can ask questions about under which category of damages would be, for example, a Docklands light railway train which hasn't got a driver. If it hasn't got a driver, it's all automated, then what form of damage is it if it's going to run over somebody, chas v'shalom? And again, if one is infecting somebody's computer with a virus, and you'll be able to take these raw principles from the Torah and you'll be able to apply them to these events which are happening nowadays. And of course, when we're talking about technology, what greater example is there than Shabbos? If something is not done with kavana, dovah she'ena miskavei, or it might happen or it might not happen, then the result of what you're doing might be a dovah she'ena miskavei. What happens if you open a fridge door? The motor doesn't come on straight away. Comes on maybe later. Have you caused that motor to come on Shabbos? All right, there are different opinions, but many say that it's all right to open the fridge door. Some say you should open it only when the motor is running. But if you cause that motor to come on, it doesn't come on immediately. So is that a dovah she'ena miskavei? Or do we say it's a psik reisha? Psik reisha is something which happens definitely, immediately. Psik reisha means cutting off the head. Obviously, if you cut off the head, an animal will die. That's a psik reisha. So if you open the fridge door and the light comes on automatically, that you mustn't do. You say, oh, I don't want the light to come on. Yes, but you're doing a psik reisha. You intended to open the door. Since you intend to open the door, it's as if you intend to switch the light on. So that's a psik reisha. But then there are other things. What if you're leaning against the light switch and it comes on? What are you doing then wrong on Shabbos? Are you doing anything wrong? The Kaf HaChaim seems to suggest it's a dovah she'ena miskavei, but many would say it's neither. It may be just a misasik. Misasik means I'm intending to do something which is allowed, like to pick up a flower from the ground which is already detached from the ground, which is nothing wrong, but by mistake I pick up a flower which is detached to the ground. Is that called a dovah she'ena miskavei? Is that it's not either. It's not psik reisha. It's not dovah she'ena miskavei. It's a misasei. I'm just doing something which I never intended to do in the first place. So if I'm leaning against the wall and I happen to trigger the light switch, it's a misasei. According to Rabbi Akiva Reger, misasei is like another avera b'shogeg, an unintentional avera. But most disagree with him, the Divrei Yoel, the Mekar Chaim, and they say it's just nothing. But once you're aware, let's say you pass a house which has a motion detector, so a light comes on automatically when you come near the house for its security. If you had no idea that there is such a security light there, you can't be to blame. It was misasik. You were just intending to walk along, and this light came on. up. And if you know beforehand and you're aware that there's a motion detector there and a light will come on, then we can say it's not misasik anymore. Then there's another interesting principle. The Gemara talks about Eisha Mishum Chatzot. This is a principle really in damages. In Gemara Baba Kamon and Vav. If you fire an arrow, then obviously if that arrow goes outside your premises and causes damage, then you are liable. Eish is fire. Let's say you light a fire and the fire spreads without your intention, you're liable for damages. Let's say you light such a small fire that there's a wind blowing, and it's the wind which carries the fire. You say, well, it's nothing to do with me, it's the wind that carries it. But then you are liable for damage. So do we apply this to Shabbos, or don't we apply this principle to Shabbos? Where you might do something initially, but then it will spread to something else. What does that mean? If you light candles before Shabbos, well, we all light candles before Shabbos, and then it's burning into Shabbos, are we saying that that burning of the candle is a result of your action, therefore maybe you've done a malacha? But how can it be a malacha? I light my Shabbos candles, I go out of the house, I lock up, and then the candle's burning into Shabbos, I'm not doing anything, I'm not doing any malacha on Shabbos. What if I put out a trap for an animal before Shabbos comes in, and an animal is trapped on Shabbos? Am I liable? Do we say that an action of yours is like this firing the arrow? Obviously you can light candles before Shabbos, but this question comes up when we have something called gromot, causing something to happen. If Eisha Mishum Chatzot is something which you're liable for on Shabbos, then even if you cause something to happen on Shabbos, like, for example, the fire is spreading and there's no danger to life, can I put water in the fire's way which will extinguish it? Because if I put the water in the fire's way, then when the fire reaches it, the fire will go out. Oh, I put out the fire on Shabbos? No, I didn't put out the fire on Shabbos. Nothing to do with me. I just had to put out some water there. But I intended that the water would turn out, would extinguish the fire. Am I liable or not? So the halacha is, Geroma, you are not liable for. The Ikadim. The Ramad Das Paskin in Shin Lamadayim, I think it is, where we still paskin the Chumra where there's no loss involved. But when there's a fire, there is a loss involved. So when there's a fire, I'm allowed to put water in the way in order that it doesn't spread. I mustn't put the water on the flames unless there is a danger to life. So then we've got various electronic devices which might be called with groma, with causation. And what they've developed in the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital is a number of systems which enable them to run in the normal functioning of a hospital by doing certain things which involve electrical electronic devices. For example, they have developed something called a groma switch, where if they switch something on and it, as a result, causes with a delayed action something to happen, then that is allowed because you're in a hospital and you're dealing with sick people. So that restriction of groma, which the Ramah says doesn't apply when it relates to sick people. So we have the groma switch, they developed nurse call systems, they developed something with temporary ink so that doctors have to record something for the welfare of the patient, so they'll write it down on Shabbos, but writing is a malacha. But what they use is they use a temporary ink, which will fade soon, but when Shabbos goes out, they'll be able to record it permanently, and that ink being faded will not be a malacha d'oraisa. Alright, you shouldn't do even a temporary malacha, but we're dealing here with the welfare of sick people. So these are examples of how we apply these raw Talmudic principles to the modern age. That is what being called a modern Jew is. That's the importance of being able to say with your hashkofa, I am a modern Jew. And not just with halacha, but maybe with hashkofa ideas as well. For example, when some modern invention takes place, you can look at it and learn some lesson from it which will give you a deeper appreciation of your Yiddishkeit, of Avodas Hashem. And a nice example I've come across in the Sefer Elam HaKorot is radio waves. In this very room, there are thousands and thousands of radio waves, sound waves, but you can't hear them, you can't see them. But if you turn on a radio, you will pick up those radio stations, which means that those radio waves are already in this room. And you're not even plugging it in, you can have a little battery transistor and you'll be picking up something from far away. What an amazing mussar is this idea of radio waves. because we can't see many of the beauties of which Hashem created. We can't see Hashem himself, but he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. So your child says to you, how is it that he's here, we don't see him? You say, well, you don't see the radio waves either, and they're all in this room. So we're understanding modern events as part of Hashem's divine plan. And also, yes?
I was going to say, it always seems to me that when the way life works nowadays, that it's a 24-7 thing, whether you're in professional life or even in business life, for most of all the goyim and everything, they never got a day off. And it's Shabbos has somehow become even more relevant, this 24-hour window when you can't look at your email.
That's true. They needed a rest from ploughing the land thousands of years ago, but nowadays we're just pushing buttons the whole time, aren't we? And if Hashem wouldn't have given us the Shabbos, we would have had to invent it.
I mean, you're expected to be available. If we haven't got this excuse that Hashem said, no, before I switch off.
Everything switches off, and we put our mind to Hashem, and all electronic, like, And that leads to other questions, like, if you run a factory, and it leads to other questions, because if you're running a factory and it's got a lot of automated devices, then you might say, well, why can't I just run the factory on Shabbos? I'm locking the door, I'm going home, I'm putting on my Shabbos clothes, I'm going to shul, I'm not doing anything, but the factory is still running. You can't do that on Shabbos. It's an insult to Shabbos. So you've got the hashkafa of Shabbos coming through much more clearly in the light of modern day technology.
Can you have benefit of Shabbos from something you did by accident, turning light on them, but the room was dark, you exactly bend that, turn
in general, light. In general, you may not benefit on Shabbos from a locker which you did.
So you have to make that room.
And so if you could have read with the light off, in any case, then you can read in that room.
If
you can only read because of that light on which you turned on, then you can't read by it. Anyway, but let's come back now to the Hashkofer idea of being a modern Jew. This is a very wide subject, but we'll just pick out one or two interesting ideas to look at the Divrei Chazal and to understand how they apply in this modern age. And one of my favorite examples of that is a sefer which was written by the Nesivos, Rav Yaakov of Lisa, famously called the Nesivos, although he wrote other sefarim like the Mekar Chaim and the Taras Gittin and the Chabad Stas, and he wrote a very small sefer called Emes LeYaakov on the Agadata of Shas. And he writes something which is just mind-boggling to apply to nowadays. There in the Gemara Bava Basra, in the Perek HaMoches HaSfino, he brings an Agadata of Rabba Baba Chano, who tells an amazing story. Once we were sailing on a ship, and we saw this big fish, such a huge big fish, which we thought was dry land because it was so big. It had sand on it and grass growing on it. We thought it was just dry land. So we got off our boat and we decided we'll make a picnic. And we got on to this fish, thinking that it was land, and we started baking and cooking with our camping stoves. The kad chavgabe, that the heat of our cooking started to annoy the fish. It's hapich. And the fish started to turn round. And if our ship would not have been nearby, we would have drowned. Simple story. And I gather top, whatever it means. Alright, let's go on a ship, you go out for the day, have a picnic, alright, what's the big deal? Amazing what the Nesivos writes. Venir la Farish, and this is how I think it should be explained. And he wrote this about 400 years ago. Sherob Ruach HaKodesh, he saw with his Ruach HaKodesh, Yeh Kodem Bias HaMashiach, before the time of Mashiach, that Yisrael would have its Memsholah, Tachas Memsholah Soal She'er Omos, that Yisrael would have its own parliament, and there will be other peoples who would be rebelling against us. But umos mechunim al shem kivro. The word of the fish is related to other peoples. And he learns out from this grass and this sand that the cooking is that by us settling on our land, they would be opposed against us. Haynu shirot Yisrael ak bi'at smom aleihem, that we were in charge of these other people. V'lim shal aleihem, we were governing them. The kad cham gabei sapeich, but that heat from our cooking annoyed them, and so they turned against us, and they wanted to fight against us. And if we wouldn't have had our ship nearby, we would have drowned. He says, Kolomah Shadova Zeya Karav LeGe'ula, were it not for the fact that it's near to the Ge'ula of Mashiach, that they turned against us, then we would not have survived the ordeal. Just like we would have drowned had the ship not been nearby. That there are peoples of the world who are challenging us in our land, where we have our own memshalah, and this is what's happening. Our cooking and baking is annoying them. Amazing piece. This is the Nasivus, Rabbi Yaakov of Lisa is his commonly known name, and I've got the sefer here if you want to see it. And just recently we saw the experience of Benjamin Netanyahu challenging the President of the United States of America, the most powerful man in the world, standing up against him, saying, we're not going to do as you say of going back to the 67 borders. What gave Bibi this confidence, this feeling of being assertive? It doesn't seem to be too well known, but Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had advised Menachem Begin, before he was meeting the American president, to read through the Parsha of Vayishlach. And he also told him to make sure that mezuzahs are up on all public buildings in Israel. And recently, before Bibi Netanyahu went to America and spoke, there was a Rav Ginsberg, who in connection with the Rav Sherman is well known in Art Scroll as the editor. They told Bibi to do the same thing. Read Parshas Vayishlach. And Bibi answered, you know, okay, I can read it, but what aspect of it do you want me to concentrate on? You know, it's a long sedra. Some email was sent him, and I don't know what the contents of that were. And my guess is may have been something to do with what we were talking about before with Yaakov fighting with the Saroshal Aesop, but I don't know. But Bibi said he will do it. And this is what he did before he went to America. And he stunned Israel, and he stunned the peoples of the world by just standing firm against President Obama. We have here Chazal telling us something which is important. And you might once heard me talk about the Maharal of Prague, who in Netzach Yisrael and also in one of his other Sforim, speaking about what would be happening before the time of the Mashiach. And I heard this originally from Rav Cooper's Ratzal, where the Maharal talks about the bringing up of Moshe Rabbeinu inside Paro's palace, and that this was part of the divine plan, that Moshe was being brought up in the house of the enemy. Because he says Hashem's plan is also that Mashiach will be brought up in the area which is those who hate the Jews. It's part of Hashem's divine plan for the downfall of the Rishoyim. And there, the Maharal talks about the fruit or the nut which abides in its shell before it becomes ripe. And so the nut is within that shell, and the shell falls away when the nut becomes ripe. And he says, in the same way, before the time of Mashiach, there will be a memshala in Eretz Yisrael, she'ein bo kedusha. There will be the Jews governing themselves with a government which isn't based on theocratic lines, but within that memshala and within that country, there will be an element, a strong element of kedusha, which will grow. And that element is what will lead to the Malchus HaMashiach. Amazing. Again, 400 years ago, these things are foreseen. This is what being a modern Jew means. To look at what our rabbis are telling us in the light of modern day circumstances, and to therefore give ourselves a chizuk even more. So it's not just halacha, but it's also hashkafa. But coming back to halacha, the Chazon Ish writes in the Sefer Emunah V'Bitachon that when you learn halacha, that in itself is a mussar. That halacha and hashkafa are really one and the same thing. They're synonymous. We tend to say they're different subjects. And in the yeshiva world, they have halacha seder, and then they have hashkafa seder. But it's all one and the same thing. Because when you learn halacha, and you're learning modern-day dinim, that has an influence over you. It has an influence on your personality, and your approach to Avodas Hashem. And in that respect, there's an interesting Chazon Ish in Hilchos Treifos, where the Chazon Ish is discussing a Rambam who talks about medicine, modern medicine. This is Rambam talking about modern medicine. That Chazal said a trefo is an animal which will die within 12 months. So what if modern medicine can cure that trefo? Is it still called a trefo? So the Rambam says it's still called a trefo. Once it was designated as one, it stays as one. So the Chazon Ish says something very important, a crucial idea, hidden inside Hilchos Treifos. He said, when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael on Shavuos, or the day after Shavuos, He had in mind that interpretations of these pieces of the Torah, which will require interpretation, like the definition of a treifa, will depend on Chazal in their time. When Chazal defined what a treifa is, that's the definition, and that's what will stick. And so the Kabbalah HaTorah we have is not just from Har Sinai, but also from the Divrei Chazal, which they interpret from time to time to tell us what the Torah means. Achrei Rabbi Nahasos, Lo Bashamayim Hi. That is the way Chazal darshan. And it's not just that when they define what a trefer is, it's also nowadays, in 5771, when you've got a Beis Din who determine a halacha on something which is in modern technology, that decision of the Beis Din Shel Matzah is also the decision of the Beis Din Shel Malah. Hashem is going to go along with the decision of the Beis Din down here. So the Rambam says this because when Chazal defined what a trefor is, according to the time in which they lived, had that medicine not existed, it would be an animal which dies within 12 months. So even if afterwards you can then cure that animal, its definition of a trefor is dependent on the way Chazal determined it then. So that means that the halacha will not change with modern medicine. But there are other halachas which would change with technology. For example, we say after Sukkot, the Saint Talu Motor. And in Israel, you start saying the Saint Talu Motor 2 weeks after the end of Sukkot. Why? Because people are traveling back from Yerushalayim to their homes. And it takes them 2 weeks to travel back. So therefore, you say the Saint Talu Motor 2 weeks later, because we don't want them journeying in the rain. You can't battle for rain while people are still on the road. But now that we've got Eged buses, and these Eged buses will get you back within half a day to the furthest corner of Israel, then in the future the Sanhedrin will be able to say you start the same Talmud Motor a day or two later, giving people a chance to get home, let's say 2 days later, and then you start saying that because travelling is more quick. So it's not dependent on a fixed definition which Chazal made, but it's within the discretion of the Sanhedrin that these things can change. And then there are other shilas, you know, in the Beit HaMikdash, where we have electric lighting and air conditioning and all these modern gadgets. These are the questions we might not know from the Sfarim what the answers are, but we should discuss them. We should debate them. Because then we will reach ourselves to a better understanding and feeling that we are modern Jews. All right, the architecture is clearly defined as what the Beit HaMikdash will be. But my Rebbe, Reb Shimon Leiser, said there's no reason why you can't have standing light columns in the Beit HaMikdash, because then you will not be affecting the structure. But what you can't have is people coming to chisel into the walls to start putting PowerPoints in those. So that was his stuff. Okay, we'll see what happens when the Beit HaMikdash turns around. But it's not really the answer which matters now. It's just to discuss it, to think about it. In the Chukosai Teilechu, that you should be Amenei B'Torah, that you shall be steeped in Torah, means that when you're going on your way and you're looking at the world around you and you're saying, what does the Torah tell me about this? Not that we change the Torah, Chas V'Shalom, according to modern day age, but we apply the Torah with its raw principles of 2 plus 2 makes 4, which we will find always relates to any modern day circumstances. This is the beauty of Torah, that we can never appreciate so much until we apply, and we go through shalas and tshuvas, and we look at the way they apply to modern day circumstances, and Hummel was more involved than Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, who looked at all aspects of modern technology and medicine and damages in the light of modern day circumstances to show how the Torah is applied from its raw principles. So now we come to Shavuos, and it's true, it's 3,000 years ago that we received the Torah, but really we're receiving it every single day. And as we said, if the Torah would be a newspaper, the date which is stamped on it would be today's date, and tomorrow it will be tomorrow's date, and next week it will be next week's date, because the Torah is eternal for all time.
Good.
Yom Tov. Chag Sameach.